human brain made of approximately 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars that exist within our galaxy. The human brain monitors and regulates all of the body's actions and reactions. With over 5 trillion chemical operations occurring every second, and signals being transferred at speeds of over 260 miles per hour, our brain is rapidly analyzing and responding to all of the sights, sounds, and smells all around us. Now, because we are all born slaves to sin, our mind has been programmed to behave out of selfish desire. The way we think, dream, reason, and act are limited to the ways of this world. Now consider the facts for a moment. For every behavior we experience, our brain creates a neurological pathway. As behaviors are repeated, those pathways become increasingly more stable. Think of it this way. A single behavior maps out a dirt road in your brain, creating a basic pathway for your thoughts to travel. But as you repeat behaviors, your brain builds a highway, allowing for an increased volume and frequency of thoughts to move about, resulting in your day-to-day actions. In order to change our behavior, we must reprogram our brain. It requires the deconstruction of existing highways and is a process that takes time. The Bible directs us to take every thought captive and to commit daily to the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Word. And in time, the result is the formation of an entirely new neurological roadmap, leading you to the life you were meant to live.
Hallelujah. Pastor Darling. I like being Pastor Darling. Hallelujah. Well, let's start with prayer. Father, right now, I just step back and I ask Holy Spirit that you step forward. You know exactly what you've got for us tonight, exactly what we need to hear concerning the lives we were meant to leave. Yes. So, Father, I just thank you for it. I just thank you for your presence here tonight, your goodness to us, for what we've already experienced and what we're going to learn. Yes. Father, I just pray that each heart will be open to receive what you have for them, that all of our ears will be open to hear the voice of the Spirit. Thank you. And, Father, we just thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The life we were meant to live. Did you catch that at the end of the video when they said that?
Yeah.
The life we were meant to live. Now, of course, my first question would be, if we're going to talk about the life we were meant to live, is what kind of life was it? You know? Apparently God's got a life for us to live, right? Now, so first off, we need to find out, what is that life? What were we meant to live? Well, let's look at John 10:10. You know that one? That's a good one. John 10:10. Because in John 10:10, he tells us the life we were meant to live. He tells us, first off, that there's a thief whose purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But his purpose, God's purpose for us, is that he would give us a rich and satisfying life. That's according to the New Living. Now, of course, you know, in a King James says that we would have an abundant life. So what is the life we're meant to live? It's a good life.
Amen.
A life of abundance. You know, a life, the Easy to Read version says a life that is full and good. The Common English Bible says so that they can live life to the fullest.
Hallelujah.
Now, we would like to ask, okay, if that's God's plan for us and that's what God wants for us, what do we want? Well, I want that.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes.
Everybody wants a nice, full, satisfying, abundant life.
Amen.
You know? Who wants to live on Barely Get Along Street? You know? Living down on Grumble Alley. No. Let's don't do that. It's no fun. But you see, as the video pointed out, we're all born as sins to slave.
Slaves
to sin. Reverse that. Thank you. As slaves to sin. You know, we really didn't have a choice in the matter. Why? Because way back when, Adam and Eve made that choice for us. And because they made that choice for us, we have to follow in, you know, we have to follow that way. Choice was made. But praise God, Jesus came and he made a different choice that canceled out that one and gave us the opportunity to say, I don't want that. I want the abundant life. I want the life that God has given me. But because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, from the moment we are conceived, everything in this world is trying to push us into that first choice, the choice that was made in the garden, to be that slave to sin, to be stolen from, to be destroyed, because that's what the thief wants to do. And the Bible clearly tells us Satan is the god of this world. And as the god of this world, he can do that. Anybody that will fall under his lordship, he has the right to do that to him. But we don't have to fall under that lordship anymore. Amen. We are free because we accepted Jesus, and we thank him for that. Amen. That we've got a different life, a different plan. Because he says in Jeremiah, everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, right? Amen. I know the plans I have for you. Good plans. Plans to give you hope, a future, an expected end. And you know, we've talked a lot over the past few months about writing the vision and making it plain. Did you know that God asked us to do that, told us to do that, because he did it first? Oh yeah! He wrote the vision and made it plain for your life. For each of us. How do I know that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Let's turn back to Psalms. Y'all notice I don't have my electronic Bible up here tonight. That's in honor of Pastor Dennis. Psalms 139. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it starts in verse 13. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Now that's kind of intimate there that he created those parts. He actually knit us together. I don't know how many of you have knitted. I've tried it. Yeah. I don't know. You have just got to be really, precise in that. So, but God knit us together. It says, you have made us wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. What workmanship? Us. Amen. He's talking about what he knitted together. Us. Amen. We're marvelous. You watched over me as I was being formed, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. And here's the part I want you to catch. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So see, when God tells us to write the vision and make it plain, it's because he first wrote the vision and made it plain for us. So he's given us an opportunity. He's saying, look, I've got my book. I've got my book. And I've written out all the plans for your life right here. Every single day before you were even born. Now, you catch that vision. And you start writing it down. And you start speaking it. And you start living it. Because what I've got for you is good. Don't fall into this. Romans 12. Turn the page. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, word tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren. In other words, please, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not unreasonable, not overbearing, not demanded, but reasonable. And, so how do we do that? How are we holy, acceptable? What? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So in other words, so that you can prove out, you can walk out, you can live what he has already written in his book as the plans for your life. What he's already written down. Before you were even born. You can do that. Now the expanded Bible reads this way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, God has shown us great mercy. Therefore, I beg you, offer your lives, yourselves, your bodies as a living sacrifice to him. It would be for God only and pleasing to Him. Because this is your spiritual, authentic, true, appropriate, fitting, rational, reasonable way to worship. Don't be shaped, conformed, pressed into a mold by this world. Amen. But instead be changed from within, transformed by a new way of thinking, or by changing the way you think, renewing your mind. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you, that which is God's will for you, and know that it is good and pleasing to Him. So see, we're not supposed to be conformed to this world. We're not supposed to look like the world, be like the world, act like the world. But we're to conform ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that word transformed in Romans comes from the Greek word metamorpho. Now, all of us know metamorpho, that's where metamorphosis come from. And how many of us learned in grade school metamorphosis is the butterfly? You know, you got this little creepy looking little worm caterpillar guy that eventually wraps himself up and then he comes out as a beautiful butterfly. Well, that's what that word is talking about there. That is the picture that the Holy Spirit is giving us of what we're supposed to be. See, as slaves to sin, we're that caterpillar. We're just a worm crawling in the dirt because that's all we can do. Because we're under the thumb, the hand, the oppression of the enemy. But when we say no and we choose Jesus as our Lord and we change from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then we are changed. Immediately, our spirit is metamorphosed, transformed, completely different into the image of Christ. But we're three parts. Our spirit is changed. But then we have to start working on the other part, the renewing of our mind. We've got to change that mind. We've got to make sure that our mind comes in line with our spirit. Because as soon as we accept Jesus, we walk into a war. It's a battle for eternity. And not just a little battle, but a nasty one. Because our enemy is nasty. And he don't care. He don't follow no rules. There's no Geneva Convention with him. It's a throwdown. Yes. He don't care. Street fight, whatever you want to call it, it is. And he's out to destroy us. God warned us. The thief wants to kill, steal, destroy. He wants to completely annihilate you. Why? Because we're in the image of God. And he hates God. So, of course, anything God's loved, anything God values, he wants it destroyed. So we're in that war. But you know what? Jesus walked before us. He showed us the way. He's going to help us get through it. And he's given us some ways in his word on how we're to be transformed. So, what is our method of metamorpho? Well, Proverbs 4:23 says, to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Good News Translation puts it this way. Be careful how you think, because your thoughts shape your life. The Easy to Read Version says, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. Mm-hmm. So it's transforming our minds, renewing our thought processes, doing a complete renovation, like the video said. It says those brain, you know, those thought patterns go through there. And the more we follow that thought pattern, the more we let it get in there, the deeper, more ingrained it becomes. And so when we get ready to go in and change it, I mean, how many of you as a kid, you know, had something spoken over you that wasn't very flattering? You will never amount to nothing. You are just like your uncle, cousin, dad, whatever. You know, granddaddy was a drunk, daddy was a drunk, you gonna be a drunk. They died with a heart attack from my family. You know, my sisters, bless them, Lord. Every time they call me, I feel like I need a bath afterwards. Because they, both of them have severe heart problems. And they tell me all the time, you know, Mama had all these heart problems, and I've got Mama's heart problems. And you need to go get your heart checked because you got Mama's heart problems too. Because it runs in our family. All us girls have it. And we got daddy's arthritis. And you know, how are your joints doing? How are your hands? How are your knuckles? You know, and I go, mine are fine. I have a new, that's it. That's it right there. We got a whole new bloodline. We got a whole new DNA.
Exactly. Amen.
And I tell my sisters that. I say, you don't have to. Oh, yeah, we do. And you do. Last time I talked to my sister in Missouri, she asked me, have you ever had your eyes checked yet? No. My sight's fine. I can see fine. Well, you know Mama had. And now I got it. And so that means, no, it don't mean nothing. It means I have a choice to make. That's what it means. And I choose to report of the Lord. The Word says, you know, my example is Moses. I love Moses. He was a mess in his flesh. But praise God. You know? And Moses, the Word says that Moses, at 120 years of age, his eye was not dim.
Deuteronomy 34:7.
He's still got good eyesight.
That's right.
And it says his natural forces or his physical strength were not abated.
Amen.
And so I say, Lord, your word says that, you know, you're no respecter of persons. You did it for Moses. You do it for me. He's my example. My eyes are fine. If my sisters choose to have molecular degeneration and glaucoma and all this other mess, that's their choice, Lord. I can't make their choice for them. I can tell them, but I can't make it for them. But my choice is to be like Moses.
Amen.
That's my choice.
Amen.
But you see, it's a thought pattern. Amen. See, my sisters have not changed their mind. They have not renewed that. They have not tore down that pathway that's been running in there. Mama always said, Mama always said, Mama always said. Mama were wrong. I love you, Mama, but you were wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
She's looking at the heaven now going, I know, honey.
Sure.
She was wrong. But you see, she didn't have her mind renewed to the Word. And that's the bottom line of it, right? That she did not have her mind renewed to the Word. And you say, okay, you're talking a lot of spiritual stuff. All right, how many of you know who Albert Einstein is? Everybody say, yeah, we know who Albert is. We've heard about old Albert. You know, we know Albert. I got a quote in here somewhere from Albert. There you go. Albert's uncle. You're named after him, right?
Yeah, right?
Well, Albert Einstein said, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. And it cannot be changed without changing our thinking.
Mm. Very good.
See, we're three-part beings. We're physical. We live in a body. We're spirits. You know, that's to realize we're spirits. But we have a mind. And like Caroline Leaf has pointed out to us, Dr. Leaf has pointed out, is that our mind and our brain are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
The brain is the organ that sits in my head. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. It's an organ. It's the computer that runs the rest of this. Bottom line. But who's programming that computer?
You are.
Mm-hmm. There it is right there. See, we have to decide who's going to program this computer. Who is it? Is it going to be my spirit man that's been transformed, renewed, that's the image of God, that's got the Holy Spirit dwelling within it? Or is it going to be this, the flesh, the world, the thoughts that have been ingrained in that brain? Because Dr. Leaf pointed out, she has found a way. It's really fascinating. If you haven't seen her, pull her up on YouTube, Dr. Caroline Leaf. But they have the technology now that they can actually see your thoughts. They're electrical impulses that run through your brain, and they can see a thought running through your brain. And they can see how it'll repeat that pattern. And as it does, it starts actually growing. And it'll wind up looking like a tree as it develops. And she says, and she has found, they found out, they have scientifically proven it now. They're proving the Word of God. I love it. You know, that those toxic thoughts, those bad thoughts that we've been, you know, repeating all our lives, that our parents told us, that our teachers told us, that the world has told us for so long, that we can tear those thoughts down. We can bring down those strongholds.
Amen.
And we can bring them into submission of Christ, and we can build new ones. So we don't have to keep that stuff. You know, God bless my sisters. They don't have to keep those thought patterns. They don't have to do that. They can make a different choice. But they have to make that choice. They really do. Now, the question then now is, okay, how do we do this? You know, well, Dr. Leaf has a 21-day program, plug for Dr. Leaf, that I, for one, am going to sign up for. It's I went online and researched it. It's $30 for a year. And you can go through the 21 days as many times as you want over the course of that year. So I said, praise God. Because she's got a, is it a 5-step process, 7-step? She's got a 5-step process that she walks you through where you take just one thought, just one thing, or one behavior, and she shows you how to change that behavior. And she just focuses on that one thing and takes you through it over the course of 21 days because she said it takes 7 minutes, is like 7 to 10 minutes a day of just focusing on that one thing to make it change, to see it register in your brain. You know, and I'm figuring, this lady's a doctor. She's a neuro something or other or mother. You know, she got like this much stuff behind her name, you know.
She's and a neuroscientist.
Neuroscientist. And I figured, she know. Yeah. You know, she's figured out how to do it. And she is a Christian.
She's spirit-filled.
Spirit-filled, you know. And I figure she's figured out a way. You know, God has given her the wisdom to show us in the natural how to do what he tells us to do spiritually. Hey, I'm going to draw on that wisdom. I ain't going to medical school for 12 years so I can learn how to do this stuff. I'm going to listen to her.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to utilize her education. But, so I encourage you, you know, do it. But for us tonight, for our purposes, we're going to get started on that journey together. So what's the first thing we've got to do as far as stepping into changing our minds and being different? Well, first off, we've got to center our thoughts and our actions on God. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first
the kingdom of God.
We got to seek him first. We got to put him first. We can't put the world first. We can't put the Satan and his, you know, mess first. We got to put God first. You know, he has got to be there first. Because when we look to him first and we think on those things that are pure, lovely, perfect, and of a good report, rather than all this other junk out here, you know, that gives him opportunity to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in the way that we should go. Secondly, once we start putting him first, we've got to ask for his help. You know, we've got to seek him. Part of seeking him is asking. Holy Spirit, I've got this thought. You know, every time this happens, I remember my mom saying, or I remember so-and-so saying, or I remember. You break that word down, I remember. I rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. That's literally true.
That's what you're doing. When you remember something, you're taking that member and putting it back. You're rebuilding it. So you're taking that thought. Dr. Leaf has proven it. We take that thought and we just reinforce it. Make it stronger. Build that stronghold. We've got to stop that. So we have to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Because he tells us in Psalms 26:2, it says, Lord, look closely into my heart and mind, the seat of my emotions, my mind, and show me what I need to change. How many of you know he's good and he'll do it? If we ask him, he will do it. But then we've got to open ourselves up to him and we've got to be willing, once he shows us something, to act on it, to change it. You know, he can show us, for example, if somebody that smokes, dips, drinks, whatever. If he shows you, you know, you don't need to be smoking. It's going to damage your body. It's not good for you. Stop it. But then you go, that ain't God. So once he shows you something, you got to be willing to accept it and say, yes, Lord, I'll do it with your help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it with your help, Lord. So we've got to be willing to submit that to him and do it. That's part of saying Jesus is Lord, you know. And that's something I tried to explain to my mom one time because my sisters both drank. They didn't get roaring drunk, but they drank. And she didn't like it. And because I didn't drink, she wanted me to convince my sisters that they didn't need to. And I try and try to tell Mama, I am not the convictor. That's Holy Spirit's job. I can tell them it's not good for them. I can tell them what they're doing to their bodies. But they've got to make that choice. See, and I'm sure many a time probably Holy Spirit convicted them. Mm-hmm. And said, you don't need to do that. You know, praise God, now that they're in their 60s, late 60s, they've found the wisdom of that and they've stopped drinking. Praise God. You know, who knows how much damage they've done to their bodies in 60 years, but praise God. But once he shows us something, we've got to say, yes, Lord. You're Lord over this. I'm going to give it to you. Because I don't just have salvation. He's my Lord. Amen. That means I follow him. I do what he tells me. You know, I walk in obedience. And then number three. So number one, we got to center our thoughts and actions on him. Seek ye first the kingdom. Number two, ask God for his help. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. He's promised he would. Third, we've got to choose not to dwell on those fleshly negative thoughts and emotions that come against us. Because how many of you know, once you make that decision, immediately the devil's going to bring something. Immediately he's going to attack in that area. But Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, think on that. So in other words, if it's a lie, if it's dishonest, if it's unjust, if it's impure, if it's ugly, if it's not a good report, don't think about it. Amen. Just put it aside and don't think about it. You know, Dr. Hagin said, you can stop the birds. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a what?
Nest.
A nest in your hair.
Amen.
You know? So you can't stop the enemy from bringing those thoughts against you. That's his battlefield. That's where he comes. But you can stop him from setting up camp there.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
You can stop him.
Yes.
You do not have to receive that mess.
Can I throw something in from Miss Lee?
Throw it up. Right here, I'm ready to catch.
Along those same lines, she says it this way. She says, you can't stop stuff from happening to you, but you can control your reaction.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things the video pointed out, was that, you know, our reasonings, our thoughts, our reactions to things. You know, why do we react certain ways? Because somewhere in our past, something happened that built that stronghold, that thought pathway that told us, oh, it's happening again.
Oh, come on.
Right. You know?
Come on.
Oh. It's familiar. Right. And immediately that thought runs through there. Immediately it goes there. That's why we've got to deconstruct that thought and replace it. We got to renovate our minds. Now, how many of you know that renovate means, like, if we're going to renovate this house, first thing we got to do is get everything out of here. It's got to be tore down, gotten rid of. And then we can bring in the new stuff. So a big part of renewing our minds is we've got to renovate. We got to get the junk out.
Stinking thinking.
We got to get rid of the stinking thinking. We got to let it go. So we've got to choose not to dwell on those fleshly negative things. And how do we do that? By taking every thought captive. So number four is we take every negative thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the expanded Bible puts it this way. We destroy people's arguments, human reasonings, and every proud thing, pretensions, exalted opinions that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, the Word says, take every thought captive, saying. Saying. You take that thought captive by speaking against it. You release that thought by speaking it out. So you sneeze, ha-choo! Immediately, you're getting sick.
Oh, no, we're not.
The flu's going around. Boy, that's a big thing where I work.
In the ministry.
We're in an enclosed environment because we deal with money, And, you know, money's dirty.
Yeah, it is.
It's just dirty. There's dust. There's junk. I mean, the junk on money, you know. And because the room is closed, that mess gets in there. And everybody sneezes. We all sneeze because the dust gets in our nose. You know, all the time sneezing. Every time they sneeze, oh, you know, flu's going around. Oh, you getting sick? How's your sinuses? Because that's their thought pattern. That's what immediately comes. Flu. Did you get your flu shot? Yes, I did. By his stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
I got my flu shot. Did you get yours? Oh, you know that ain't what I'm talking about. That's what you ought to be talking about.
Amen.
Come on. Can I say now, they don't ask me no more. If I can. They don't even ask me. They'll just say, no, don't be asking Fry what she does. She's going to preach at you. Leave her alone.
That's good.
You know? But immediately it'll come. And so when I sneeze or I get an ache or something don't feel right, because it happens. You know, we're in this world and Satan's out there and he's trying his best to get us to agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, immediately you take that thought captive and I go, oh, praise God, I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm catching a healing today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Being infused.
That's it. Lord, your word says that by your stripes I was healed, and if I was healed, then I am healed. If I am healed, then I am not sick. So, Lord, I just declare and decree right now that I am the healed. And I, Lord, I am redeemed from every offense of the curse. The curse of the enemy does not come on me because I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light.
Amen, sister.
Come on.
Amen.
Sister Fry can
come
preach.
On. Yes, she can. Come
and
on.
I refuse Amen. Every offense
Amen.
Of the curse because I have the blessing.
Amen.
The blessing. But you know what? You can't do that if it's not in here. And how do you get it in here? You got to open it up. You know, Dr. Hagin quotes the scripture. He says a lot that God told us that this word is medicine.
Yes, it is.
It's medicine to all our flesh.
Yes, it is.
You know, but like any medication, if you don't open the container and take the medicine, it's not going to do you any good.
Amen.
And you can't
No. You can't OD on this.
Isn't that awesome?
You cannot OD on the gospel. You can't. So make sure. So if you want to pop a pill, here's the pill to pop right here. The gospel.
Amen.
All right. I am a pill popper extraordinaire. Let me tell you.
Loads of gospel.
I like it. It's
We're
good stuff.
Addicted.
I am addicted. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, number five, we have to choose to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, his word said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it's also in rejoicing him and praising him that we release those things. You know, it's been proven. Once again, medical science has caught up with the Bible.
Amen.
And it's been they have proven it. You talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There's this little bitty teeny tiny gland in your brain, kind of like underneath in the base, kind of hidden away there. Itty bitty thing, about the size of a pea or something. And the only time that they see any activity in that little gland is when you're worshiping God.
Isn't that praise God?
When you praise Him, when you start speaking in tongues, that gland starts activating. And what it does when it activates is it releases endorphins into your bloodstream. It boosts your immunity.
Wow.
You know? And that's the only time it is activated. They cannot get it to do anything until somebody starts saying, praise God. Lord, I worship you. I thank you, Father. And then that little gland starts going, oh yeah, man, here we go. And it starts pumping that good stuff into your body. You know? And I don't know about y'all, but there have been times when I just start feeling down. You know? And I put on some worship music, throw my hands up. You know, something we've started doing every morning. He sets his timer. And we have our 2-minute power pose every morning where we do this. Because it's also been proven by science that this releases cortisone and endorphins, lowers your cortisone, and raises, so it's a power pose because it releases the hormones in your body that strengthen you and build you up, And it suppresses the ones that make you fat and give you stress.
God, I need to lift my arms more.
And so we have started, that's us. So we have, he sets the timer. And 2 minutes, it's at 2 minutes where the maximum. When you hit that 2 minute mark, it's when it's maximum in your body. So we have started setting a timer every morning. We have our devotions. 2 minutes. We're like this, praising God. And the first or second day we did it, when I went to work, I got to work and I got there in the morning, I thought, man, I'm feeling really good today. What is the difference here? And Holy Spirit just quickened to me. What'd you do this morning? I went, oh yeah, let me do it some more, Lord. I had to take them to send in that mail. I'm ready for it. So when you're feeling down and you know what's going on,
yeah. I'll pop up there. When we go for our potty break.
Potty break. That's it. Just go in there. Do it, do it, do it, do it. See, and I want to read you Philippians 4:4-7 from the Expanded Bible. I've recently discovered the Expanded Bible. 4-7. Philippians 4:4-7. It says, be full of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, be full of joy. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are gentle, kind, considerate, patient. Because the Lord is coming soon. He is close at hand. He's very near. And do not worry or be anxious about anything. Just pray and ask God for everything you need. Make your requests known to Him. Always giving thanks. Amen. And when you do this, God's peace, which is so great, we cannot understand it because it transcends and surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that same scripture, Philippians 4:8-9 from the Expanded Bible says, finally, and this is my closing point, finally, in conclusion, think about, focus your thoughts on, fill your minds with those things that are true, honorable, right, just, pure, beautiful, lovely, and respected. So if there is anything that is morally excellent and worthy of praise, focus your thoughts, fill your mind with these things. Do what you have learned and received and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. And I want to close out tonight with a quote from Kenneth Copeland. And Brother Copeland said, there is no lack for any believer in the new covenant. Only underdeveloped or underdeveloped skills in the word of that covenant, competing with highly developed unbelief and ideas from the world's system in the ways of doing and thinking. So the bottom line for us folks is that we have got to change our minds. We've got to change the way we think. I want to close out with prayer tonight. So everybody just take that power pose. Just lift your hands for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom you've given us in the pages of your word, Lord. And we just praise you tonight. We just worship you. And Father, we make the quality decision that we will change our minds. Lord, you've been telling us in your word for centuries that it all matters. What we think matters. Thoughts are what matters. Thoughts, Lord, are what builds our lives. What we think is what we're going to act. What we think is what we're going to live. So, Father, tonight we just give those thoughts to you. And we just ask you to help us, Holy Spirit, to change the way we think. That we won't think on the things of the world anymore. We're not going to dwell on that. But we're going to dwell on your word. And we're going to start speaking it out. And we know that you're going to bring the change. It's going to be different because we're lining up with you. And you are the victor. Like the song said, you've got the victor's crown. You won. And through you, we are more than conquerors. So tonight, Father, I just bless each one here. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. I just ask for a special something for each and every one of them this week, Lord. Something that just you'll quicken in them and go, whoop, that's for you. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we're just going to take just a couple of minutes. And just, if anybody needs prayer for something, Kathy and Albert, I'm going to ask y'all to come up and just be our prayer ministers tonight. That if anybody has a special need or something they want us to stand in agreement with. Because I know Karen's got an opportunity to work as a chaplain at a hospital, possibly, just on an all-call type basis. As a minister. An opportunity to minister. And so we just want to pray over that and stand in agreement with her for that. And then, you guys, anything here that you need? I mean, you want to think about it for a minute? Y'all need prayer? All right. We can do that.
That's okay.
There you go. Want to turn me on?